Kevin, having seen whatever you've seen on Derek Barnett, their defensive end, I know their entire defense is good, but what separates Barnett, in your opinion, from other defensive ends?
Well, statistically, you know, you've got number one and number two in the NCAA right now. I mean, he's productive. You know, you play a lot of guys that are good players, that have athletic ability. He's got all those things, but he's productive and he's disruptive. You know, he's athletically, he's one of the tops in the country. But from a production standpoint, his numbers with sacks are comparable. That's why he's number two in the country. So that's what I see. You know, you see a lot of guys that can be disruptive. You see a lot of guys who are athletic. Some guys are you know, are good players or great players, but productivity and is a big deal to me. So that's where he stands out.
To the left here, Christy.
What have you seen from Deshaun since you got him until now, in terms of him changing his body and progressing as a player?
About 60 pounds. So it's one thing. You know, he was a basketball player primarily, you know, when he moved, and then I think he might have been 208 when we were recruiting him. I think he was 213 maybe on his official visit. And, you know, because of where we were in this program, and yeah, I think you guys remember saying, we had to play him. In his freshman year, he's had, you know, some shoulder injuries, problems. Up until 2 years ago, really last 2 years ago, was really the first year that he could spend a full year in the weight room, that he ever spent a full year in the weight room, from being a basketball guy, from having shoulder injuries, from playing the first couple years. So the spring was non-existent for him, strength and conditioning-wise, until the summer. So the last really year and a half, 2 years, he's had the opportunity – from a strength and conditioning standpoint, from a nutritional standpoint, things that become really important to him to get his body right, he's done that. And, you know, he's keeping his weight up. Last year, you know, he started in the 260s. I think he'll tell you, he may or may not tell you, he was below 250 by the bowl game in the 240s, and that showed up. So he's made a conscious effort, and through some of the things we did in the off season, educationally and some of the resources we have, to be able to really concentrate on guys like that that shouldn't have played as freshmen. You know, he should have been redshirted, but we had to play him. And now, 4 years later, you know, all that experience is a big deal. The size is a big deal. The strength is a big deal. So he is a developmental player, a guy that, you know, has had a lot of talent. Somebody you didn't want to play early, and maybe in later stages in your program, like right now, that guy doesn't have to be on the field as a freshman. But you know, I'm happy that he's hung in there. He's a tough guy, and you know, a lot of basketball guys aren't like that, supposedly. But you know, to play defensive end, to play the way he's played, and particularly last week, knowing the situation where we had to have a high end game out of him, he was fabulous. So those are things I've seen change. He's still a mama's boy, though. He's the first thing. He probably won't say that. She doesn't mind me saying that either. But he's still a mama's boy. Always will be.
Down front, Brent, and then Olin.
And talking to some of your guys and others, they kind of say the same thing. This 5-0 feels different than maybe the previous. Does it feel different to you, and how so?
You know, it's funny, Brent, you bring that up. And I was, you know, it's something that it has happened the last couple of years. It's something that people keep harping on. And let me, I'll say this, you know, if we win Saturday, you're going to bring it up next week, not you, because everybody's waiting for for something to happen. We lose this week, it's not indicative of anything. Our season's not over, and we're playing good football. And this team has done a great job of focusing on the little things day to day. We've gotten great leadership from our coaching staff, our assistant coaches, and from and internally from our team, from our, you know, not just we're talking about, you know, Day-Day, but Trevor, guys across the board, Armani. I mean, we've got a really good nucleus, Justin Evans, of guys that played a lot of football here, whether they're sophomores, juniors, or seniors. And so, you know, I think it's been real important. You know, you go back to August, these guys have really done a great job of blocking out noise when people talked about this program in disarray, talked about, you know, uncertainties, talking about the whole thing. I mean, they've blocked that out and have continued to play a high level of football and tried to get better every week and focused on the little things. So, you know, when people ask me what's different, how they've gone about their business has been different. And I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
Second row, Olin.
Kevin, your reaction to the game that Jeremy Tobello had, and is he going to be making a case for more playing time when Speedy gets healthy?
Yeah, Jeremy's has been a guy that hadn't been real consistent, you know, and it's a little bit like, you know, sometimes when you go in the game, when he's been in the game previously in his career, it's been against maybe lesser opponents or second-half opponents that weren't at the same level of the guys we were playing against. And really, when that happens, you know, he had a big game as a freshman against SMU. He had, you know, had big games, had a couple moments in the fourth and third quarters, but he's played more in the first half than people know. And really, I was very, very proud of Jeremy because there were a number of guys I thought we challenged during the week that they knew that I know this comes as a shock. They knew that certain guys weren't going to play and that they were going to be in starting roles. And, you know, I think the big message on Monday and Tuesday were the standard of play was not going to fall off. You're going to be held to the same standard just because you're going in the game. We're not expecting a letdown. And Jeremy played great. I thought he, you know, he got tired at the end. Playing shape's different, but, you know, he made a case that he needs to be on the field more. To give us an opportunity to do that. He hadn't done that previously in those type of competitive situations. Does that make sense? When the game is in the balance and when we got to have a play made. So that's what those moments are for. And, you know, he blocked well. He did the things that we needed him to do. We had a number of guys, I thought. You know, Coda Martin, the best thing you can say about him, you didn't notice him. As an offensive lineman, I hate to put it that way, but if he had noticed him, it'd have been a bad deal. He came in, did a great job. I thought Jarrett Johnson, Lockhart made some plays for us. You know, the defensive ends that came in and did some things by committee, but you know, they're not obviously they don't have hardly anybody has the skill level of Myles Garrett, but. I thought collectively, as those guys were challenged, they answered the bell. And certainly Jeremy Tobello is one of those guys. And we talk all the time, Olin, about your ability to gain trust and confidence in your coaches and your teammates. And it's not about what people think or people write. Everybody in this room, it's kind of like a family. You know secrets, right? And you see people practice. And so in order to have that trust in out of your other teammates, you got to practice like that. And then ultimately on game day, you've got to perform at that level. And so a number of guys did that, and Jeremy was one of those Saturday. And we're going to need these guys. And like I told you before, we're going to go through the year. We're going to talk about somebody. We do it every year. About a couple, three guys that we weren't talking about at the beginning of the year. You know, obviously Travion's one of those guys right now, but there's going to be a number, we hope, a number of them because to get through a schedule like we have, to play the number of top 15 teams, top 20 teams, and to be competitive and win those games it's going to take more than the starting 22. It's going to take a lot of people, and games like that are create confidence and in those players to be in those situations, their own confidence and our confidence in them.
To the back left, Colin, then Ben here on second level.
Coach, given how Tennessee has won their last two games, how much more important is it to close games out in the second half this week?
I don't understand. What's that?
Just because of how Tennessee has come back.
How they've won the game.
Yeah, how they've won the games in the second half, the last two games. How much more important
last is it? Last two games. How about four of the five?
Right.
right?
For, yeah, for sure.
So
for,
this, let's say what it is. This is a team that, you know, you on paper, if you don't watch it, they say, well, they've gotten lucky. No, they haven't gotten lucky. They've got a veteran quarterback that is number one in this league for points responsible for. Okay, let's just start there. So whether he's throwing it, whether he's running it, whatever he's doing, he's the number one guy that's creating him points in this league. So that gives you a chance, number one, to have those types of games and to win every game. He's been through it before. He's been in a bunch of different stadiums. He's been on the road. He's been in front of 100 and I don't know how many people were at Bristol. What was that, 150,000? All right. So, you know, he's going to come in here. He's seen all this. And that because of that, that creates confidence in a football team with a really good defense, with high-level athletes, a lot of speed. They're one of the top special teams in this league. You know, one of the top kickoff return, got great speed across the field. So when you have a team like that, you are explosive. And you combine that with a quarterback who's been there and done that and seen that, you're a confident unit. So, you know, we've got a huge challenge this weekend. You know, we've got to play and put things together and play for four quarters. We've had to do that all year. But certainly this is a different challenge with a quarterback that it can put points up all kinds of ways and is confident and should be confident based on how they've started the season and how he's played.
Go second row, Ben.
Coach, through five games, how would you assess Trevor's performance at quarterback?
I think you heard me say I wasn't trying to be smart. I'm trying to watch my language, you know. When somebody asked me what's his best, well, statistically, he's mediocre. Passing percentage-wise, last week was really the first time that we didn't take care of the ball the way we probably should have, but he's been pretty good. And his best statistic is winning. And I think what he brings to the table is that kind of leadership. I think he's made good decisions. Can they be better? Yes, he'll be the first to tell you that. There's some things that we're still working out. All in all, he's been very, very effective. And we go back to the word productive. That's what he's done. And he's been pretty good with ball security and handling that. So made a couple mistakes last week with as far as taking care of the football. Those are being addressed. Some things maybe later on in the game that, he could have done better. And you know, like I said, he hadn't played in 19 months. He's played five games. Even though he's an older guy, now he's five games into that 19-month vacation, really. The nervousness of the first two or three weeks, I didn't really understand it until we sat down and started talking about it as a coaching staff. He hadn't played, and he's anxious to play. I think, he's starting to settle down and understand a little bit more of what we're trying to do, and he's getting better every week. And, you know, that's all we can ask, just like we ask out of everybody. So, 5 weeks in, you know, he's still progressing. I think he'll tell you that. And we're progressing with him.
Front row here, Travis.
Coach, Coach Chavis, going back up against his alma mater and former employer. As a coach, is there a certain amount of, whether it's passive or active, a certain amount of compartmentalization that goes into a game like this when you're going up against something that was a previous part of your life?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him that. I mean, just be honest with you. I'm not going to answer that for him. It's been a while since he's been at Tennessee. So, it may be different since he went to school there, you know, but you have to ask him that, you know. Purdue's not on the schedule, so I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
All right, to the right, Suzanne.
Kevin, on game day being here, can you quantify what it means for your team? I'm assuming it probably is a great recruiting tool. You've had it twice before. I mean, can you offer up some anecdotes on what it might mean to your team?
No, it's a big deal. You know, I think, you know, when people talk about certain things that happen in a football program, it becomes a big deal that game day is here. They don't go to really bad games. They go to atmospheres that are important. They go to atmospheres that are meaningful. And I think what it validates is that your program is relevant more than anything else. You know, I can remember, I can remember when game day came to the University of Houston for the first time, my last year there. And it was really a validation about where we were headed as a program. And then being here and you know, from where we were to the midpoint, really not even the midpoint of the season, I guess it is, that, you know, it puts in perspective the relevancy of this game and really where this and the relevancy of the program. So it's a compliment. Does that mean that's all there is? No. You know, you work hard to be in these games, but you also work hard to win them and try to stay there, and that's our ultimate goal. But certainly from our fans' perspective, which, by the way, our fans have been great, and I'm sure this Saturday will be exactly what people have envisioned. Kyle Field, the type of games and the type of atmosphere that our administration envisioned years ago, being able to compete and have game day here, to have a top 10 matchup, to have as many people maybe outside the stadium as there are inside the stadium, and a 230 national television audience. You know, I think that's what people were looking for 5 or 6 years ago. And you know, that to be validated by game day being here doesn't hurt.
Go to the back
and it doesn't hurt recruiting either.
There you go. So. Back left, Lee, and then Ben here in the second row.
Back here, Coach. Straight ahead.
All right.
Through the lights. I know it's hard to see. You've outscored opponents 44-3 in the third quarter this year. So what that tells me is that you and the rest of the coaching staff have made fantastic adjustments if you need to at halftime.
Thank you for the compliment.
You got it. No,
I don't get many of those in here.
Is that the case? Is it something else? We do. I mean, you're 5-0. I got to give you some sort of props for that, of course. Is that the case? And how much pride do you take?
You know,
in
you
that?
Would hope so. I think there's great communication. And I've said this before that, you know, the thing that's maybe a little bit different, not a little bit, but Saturday, and I told our team on Monday, I said the biggest compliment I can give you and the biggest thanks we can give you as a coaching staff is that after Sandstorm and then after the first play of the game that went 75 yards, there wasn't panic, even though that stadium got really loud. And, you know, I've been here at times where there's finger pointing, where there's panic, where there's guys screaming and yelling. And I think the biggest compliment that I can give this team right now is we've been behind in a number of games, and we haven't been front runners. I mean, we've been behind and have settled down and played football, primarily on the road. And you know, that comes with maturity. That comes with guys being able to communicate on the sideline with coaches being able to communicate with them, and then the ability to go out and actually do that. So I talked to our team about that. That's a great compliment. But that comes with the kind of guys that are on the field playing. You know, when you're able to communicate, when Sean Washington and Armani Watts and Justin Evans and Donovan Wilson can come to the sideline and tell you exactly what happened and not make up something or keep their mouth quiet because they made a mistake. The ability to admit, coach, here's what happened. I didn't do that. I didn't do this right, but I'll get that fixed. Here's how we're going to fix it. That shows you the kind of guys that you're playing with, but they're mature guys. So, you know, a lot of those times, like I said 3 weeks ago, the ability to go into halftime, address that, sit that down, and it's not always about what the coach knows. You know, it's the ability to communicate that and have the player execute it. I think our players are doing a phenomenal job right now of communicating and with our coaches in game and during breaks.
Go second row, Ben. We'll have time for one more.
You know, Coach, I was just, you know, with you and Charlie Strong both at, you know, at your respective institutions, do you think there's anything significant about two black coaches being at the two most prestigious schools in the state, and is there anything to that? Or
you're late to the party, Ben. They asked me this years ago.
I wasn't here. So one more time, if you don't mind.
No, it is. I think, I was first asked when I got here, you know, and talked about being in the SEC, number one, being a black head coach, you know, is how big a deal is that? You know, it is. And to me, the big deal is going forward, what I see and what we're trying to do is get to a point where that isn't that big a deal, where it's not a huge deal that there's a black head coach at an institution. And the only way you can do that is to continue to win and create an opportunity for somebody else that looks like me. So that one day, a question like, I'm not picking on you, Ben, but one day this isn't a conversation. You're not just a black coach, you're a coach. And I think what you've seen happen, particularly, I don't know, 6 years ago when you had two black coaches in the Super Bowl, or was that 7 years ago? And you know, after that, really in the NFL, it became a non-issue for a couple years. And so things kind of go in cycles, and now, you know, the numbers are down. Ultimately, the best thing I can do is to do a really good job at the job I have and try to create an opportunity for somebody else and maybe, you know, for some people to take a chance on. So, you know, that's where I am with this. So, you know, for me, and you guys know this, in 5 years, I got enough on my plate to try to get done here in the SEC West, in one of the toughest leagues in the country, and to try to win a championship in this league is our goal, has been since the day I've gotten here. And, you know, part of that work and part of everything that goes into that, I think, is really not about me per se. It's about what this organization's about and trying to get better. And we've gotten better. We are a lot better than we were when I first got here, and we're continuing to get better, and that's all, the only thing that I can do.
All right, Coach. We're going to turn it over to Coach Chavis now.
Thank you.